Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Sattertons podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
The other thing I want to mention too, there's a couple more things that aren't on here. One is last Sunday, if you've been paying attention, we've had a couple waves of items that we've been, Tiffany's been organizing, setting up these care kits. And I'm just going to show you what's in them because last week we put them, a few of us stayed after and put them together. So first we've got this kind of drawstring backpack, basic black, super easy to carry around. And then if they don't need it, they can always fold it up and put it in their pocket. So it's small. In these are Ziploc bags, and our kids made these little cards to put in them. So each person will get a little bit of love put in there too, which is, of course, number one. So we've got socks. We've got little Band-Aid kits. We've got an emergency Mylar blanket, comb, little toothpaste. We've got wet wipes, tissues, hand warmers, toothbrush, things like that. And it went really quickly because we had, a good handful of people helping. And then we have another bag in here as well. Well, we have a rain poncho, and we've got another Ziploc bag in here that has food items, raisins, these little tuna cracker kits, peanut butter and crackers, stuff like that. So these are over here next to the prayer room, and I want to encourage you guys to take one. And what you're going to do with this is when you have that person that you see on the side of the road that's maybe holding a sign or that just looks down on their luck maybe, you'll know. You'll know. God's going to give you the nudge and you'll be like, oh, maybe I should give it to that person. Well, if you think that and you feel that way, that's probably the person you should give it to. What would be even better is not to just reach out the window and hand it to them, but to actually talk to them. Ask them what their name is. Because a lot of times when people are homeless or struggling hard, they just want to be seen. They want to know that they still have a name, that they still are cared about. Please take one if you feel like this is something that might stretch you a little bit. Maybe it'll get you a little out of your comfort zone. Maybe it'll get you to think of other people. Oftentimes we get very caught up in thinking about ourselves and our own things. But if we have one of these in our car, it's great to hand out to those that we think might need it. And you never know who might need it. So it's nice to have one. And then if you take one and you give it away, come get another one if we still have some. This is going to help us gauge how often we need to do some collections, what maybe our next phase is in that. But please, they're over there. I would encourage each person to take one for right now. And if you use it, come back and get another one next week. Okay? So does anybody have any questions about that? Okay. If you do, let me know or see Tiffany. She can help you too. Small group.
Oh, no, it's not next week.
Small group is coming up, though, but it's in 2 weeks. I don't know what the exact date is, Tiffany. If you can get it out, that's fine. But it's the second Friday of the month. Second Friday of the month at Tiffany's house, 6:30 or 7? 7 o'clock. Okay. So just keep that in mind for future. It's a couple weeks out, but just keep that in mind. All right. I am going to pray over my words. So, God, I just thank you for the opportunity to share what you have placed on my heart. And, Lord, I just pray that my words will be your words and that everything that comes out of my mouth will be uplifting and encouraging and comforting. In your name I pray. Amen. Everybody that knows me knows I like to talk a lot. So it's always a challenge for me to whittle down what I want to say because I usually have a lot to say. So bear with me because I struggled this week. I struggled with putting the words together. I struggled with making it kind of cohesive because there was so much on my heart that I wanted to share. So I'm going to do my best to bring it all in so that it makes sense. But Today, I want to talk about invitations for opportunity and what that might look like. 1 Thessalonians, this is, there's one little passage that we're going to talk about today, and it's 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. I personally love the Passion Translation because it really helps me understand a little bit better, and I like all the versions, actually. I kind of pick things apart that way, but I'm going to read this to you first, and then I'm going to go over each piece of this. And there are 3 major steps to being an expression of Christ. And they're kind of hidden, I feel like, in this little passage. So it says, let joy be your continual feast. Make your life a prayer. And in the midst of everything, be always giving thanks, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. Such a simple little passage, right? But it's funny because I've looked at this and kind of studied this little section for quite some time. And the first part, let joy be your continual feast. Okay, super. How do I do that? Because I'm one of those people who are like, give me the how. You're saying let joy be your continual feast, but how? How do we make that happen? So I really love figuring that part out. So the first thing that became really evident to me was how we seek him out. And we often will find joy as we seek him out. What does that look like, though? And I keep coming back to, I don't know if y'all have grown up with Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, but you remember how he would say, always look for the helpers when there's something, some catastrophe, you know, always look for the helpers. And it reminded me of something that a dear friend of mine, Melissa, told me one time, and it wasn't that long ago. It was only a few months ago. She said, look for the gift. And I was going through something super crummy. It's been a few months since my husband passed. You know, it's been hard, right? It's been hard. Lots of struggles, lots of things have come up that I've had to change and adjust to. And she's all, look for the gift, Kedron. And I'm all, I don't want to, Melissa. Because I just don't want to. Because, you know, when you're going through stuff, like, sometimes you just don't want to hear that, you know, that exhortation of look for the gift. You know, you just want to be miserable. But here's the truth of the matter. When you stop and look for the gift, it is always there. Always. You will never not find a gift in the mess, no matter how messy it is. I promise. And I'm speaking from experience because I've just been through some of the worst stuff ever. You can find the gift in the mess. And when we train ourselves to look for that gift, it becomes a lot easier to deal with struggles and challenges because you're looking for what God is going to do with that. And has he ever not done something cool? He always does something cool. And we just have to look for it. I've also found that embracing all the moments is really imperative because it is really easy to whiz through life, right, and miss the moments that he gives us. We miss flowers blooming. We miss the breeze in the trees. We miss a nature walk. We miss a friend calling us when we really actually needed it. We miss the little gift that's left for us from someone who was just thinking about us that day or whatever. Whatever it is, it's so easy to gloss over those things. But here's the thing. Life is a culmination of all these little moments that God blesses us with. And if we stop to recognize them and see the gift that's waiting in that, then we can find those joyful pieces and we can weave those together. But when we are focused on all the stuff that's wrong, guess what? That's what you're going to see, all the stuff that's wrong. We find joy not just in these hidden places, but also in people. God will often place people in our path that's going to help us grow, that's going to challenge us, like my friend Melissa, who said, look for the gift, Kedron. It's really imperative that we hang on to those and understand that those people are often placed in our lives for a reason, and that's for opportunity. And we'll get a little bit more into that opportunity piece as we go along. So the second part of that verse is make your life a prayer. So anybody who has ever listened to Bon Jovi ever knows the song Living on a Prayer, right? Which was my theme song forever. I claimed that as my theme song, like forever. I was like, that's my life. I'm just living on a prayer, just getting by, you know? And one day I was thinking, and this is going to sound corny because I still love the song, okay? I'm never not going to love that song. But I was thinking one day about that, and I was like, what if my life wasn't just living on a prayer? What if it is more like courage to change? What if it's more like speak to the mountains? What if it's more like those kind of songs rather than I'm just skating by, I'm just living on a prayer? What if it was creating in me this false narrative about my life and creating this almost like poverty level thinking, right? Where I'm just getting by from this angry God who's out to punish me or out to be mad at me. And really, it comes back to my belief, right? Your belief is everything. So when you pray, when we talk about prayer, right, oftentimes we're asking God for something when we're praying, right? So if we're asking him, are we asking him in desperation or are we declaring it in expectation? So it's something really important to think about, because it's not that there's anything wrong with asking God for things, you know, for certain situations to be cleared or whatever. It's not bad or wrong to ask God for stuff. But are we asking in a way that we're expecting him to provide a solution? Are we asking in a way that is begging? He didn't create us to be beggars. He created us in his image with abundance already mapped out for us. And we're going to get into that a little bit more too. But you know, oftentimes when we pray out of that desperation mentality, we tend to inadvertently remove our level of belief from the situation. So we take the belief out of it. But are we not believers? If we are believers, then we should be praying from a place of believing in expectation that he's going to provide the gifts and the solutions that we need for every single problem, right? And when we do that, we're actually praying in partnership with him. So instead of us like, oh God, please help me, we're more like locking arms, you know? We're working together because I'm declaring out who he made me to be, who he created me to be, and I'm operating from that place rather than this place of, oh God, please help me, you know? Your help is already present. It's a matter of you partnering with it. And I like to use food as an example because I like food. So example would be PB&J. Can't have peanut butter without the jelly. It just goes together, right? Bread and butter, burgers and cheese. Like these things go together. We think of them going together. It's the same thing. They work in partnership. They complement each other. We are not begging for the jelly to go on the bread. Okay? We are the jelly. We are already working together with God, partnership. It's not about striving, it's about partnership. It's also not about letting everyone in on the fact that we pray, or how we pray, or how often we pray. It's about being the expression of God because we are praying as believers, already believing, not beggars. When we pray with that believing and declaration and expectation, that's when you see mountains move. That's how we speak to them, and that is how we get to be, actively be. Be is an action word, the expression of God. And number three, in the midst of everything, always be giving thanks. That's a tough one, right? How are we supposed to give thanks when things are crummy? It's not always easy, but here's the thing. What if when we faced a challenge, the best question we could ever ask ourselves is, what is the opportunity that's in front of me? Because so many times we look at things as a hardship. Why is God doing this to me? You know, why is he making this happen? Why is he allowing this? We hear that a lot, right? God allows. No. That word doesn't even, like, for an all-powerful God, God allows, really? He's an all-powerful God. And so much of the time, we forget and don't give him credit for that. I was watching a clip from that movie, Evan Almighty. It's funny, I haven't seen that movie in a million years, but I keep seeing that clip pop up lately. And it's where the wife is talking to God in the restaurant. And she, of course, doesn't know that. But she's all upset, you know. He's building this ark, and I don't know what to do. And she's all, like, wigged out. And he starts talking to her about opportunity and how. And it really struck me because he shares with her about how it's an opportunity to love, to believe in each other, to the two by two, you know, hand in hand, connection, community, walking together, believing in one another. And what if, it made me think about, what if we looked at everything like that? I mean, we often think of the Noah's Ark story as like this, you know, God is punishing the world. He's, you know, an angry fist and he's whatever. But what if we looked at it different? What if we looked at it as he was giving them an opportunity to make better choices? He was giving them an opportunity, when it comes to Noah and his family, to build something together, to believe in something, to partner with earth, with nature, with bringing those animals on board two by two. It may sound silly, but you've got community, you've got connection, you've got building, you've got prophecy, you've got all these pieces. God gave Noah an opportunity to build, to have a solution, to present it to the world. Other people had choices to follow or not. So if we look at God as a God of opportunity, giving us constant invitations to those opportunities, how much different would our perspective be about life and about the challenges that we are facing? How different would it look if we looked at every challenge as, well, God's punishing me? If we change that language, we change that narrative so that it's, how can I be an opportunity for someone else? How can I present myself as Christ to be the expression of him? The last part of these verses says, for this is God's perfect plan for you in Christ Jesus. So joy being a continual feast, making your life a prayer, always giving thanks, is his perfect plan for us. So as we reflect on this, that is the theme that God has in mind for your life, is these invitations for opportunity. And when we look at that, instead of the struggle or hardship, we open ourselves up to these new reference experiences where we can literally reshape the way we handle every single situation, every single one. So I want to read another little passage to you to solidify that. And it's Hebrews 18, the second part of 18 and 19. Again, Passion Translation. And now we have run into his heart to hide ourselves in his faithfulness. This is where we find his strength and comfort. For he empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time. I'm going to read that little section again. He empowers us to seize what has already been established ahead of time, an unshakable hope. We have this certain hope like a strong, unbreakable anchor holding our souls to God himself. Our anchor of hope is fastened to the mercy seat in the heavenly realm beyond the sacred threshold. And in the mercy seat is just another phrase for like his innermost chamber. So we're talking about the innermost chamber of his heart. That's what he has for us. It's not about struggles. It's not about challenges. We're going to face them. We're going to have them, right? But it's how we look at them. It's how we approach them. Are we approaching it as an invitation for opportunity? Or are we approaching it as just another hardship or challenge? Because if we look at it as an invitation for opportunity, then what is he inviting you to? So I'll leave you with those questions, those thoughts, is what is Jesus inviting you into? What opportunity is he inviting you to take part of? Is it love? Is it to help someone? Is it to offer solutions for them? Is it just to be a blessing, to just be there? Is it to listen? Is it to observe and to be aware of what's going on around you? I think the greatest one of all is the love. How do we be the expression of Christ? And that is to love. It's the greatest commandment of all, is to love. So ask yourself today, what are you being invited into? What challenges are going on in your life right now that you can flip and look at it as an invitation for an opportunity? And what is that opportunity? What does that look like? What do you carry? Because I guarantee you carry a solution for some of this. So God made us that way, right? So if we have that knowledge, understanding who we are and what we have to offer, we have solutions to problems. We can love other people in those ways. We can look for those invitations for opportunities to love on other people the way that Christ loves us. So I hope that blessed you today, and I'm just going to pray over us and over our meal. Thank you, God, so much for this time that I got to share what Holy Spirit laid on my heart. And Lord, I just pray that it translated well. I pray that you would just really present yourself in each person's heart, that you would penetrate, that you would allow them to begin to look at the opportunities that you've placed in front of them. Help them to see that you are constantly creating avenues of opportunity to be more like you, to show that love that you have for others. And I just thank you, God. I thank you for the blessing that you are. I thank you for the love that you shower upon us constantly. I thank you for you being an anchor for our hearts, our minds, our soul. We just love you so much, and we honor you and glorify you. We ask special blessing on the food that was brought today, that you would allow us to enjoy this beautiful level of community with each other, and that you would bless this food to our bodies. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania.
I'm taking a well, I'm taking a well right here. digging a well in the valley of my weeping. I'm digging a well in my tears. I'm digging a well.